A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Maven, concentrate on Sen. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The light's probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to episode 10 of British Invaders, the podcast all about British science fiction television. And today we will be talking about Blake 7. This is Brian from Canada.
Hi, I'm Xander from London, England.
Most of this episode is actually the first half of our original pilot. So if it sounds like we hadn't recorded an episode of British Invaders before, well, that's for a very good reason. Blake 7 was a late 70s and early 80s science fiction TV series. It was set in the distant future where the galaxy is dominated by the Federation. And the Federation is a regime that is based on Earth and is oppressive and totalitarian and keeps its citizens drugged to keep them docile and is generally the evil empire of the peace. The protagonists of the show are a group of rebels that have acquired a powerful alien ship that's called the Liberator. And these rebels are led by Rog Blake, and there are, of course, about 7 of them. And they are always trying to attack and damage the Federation. And sometimes they're also running from the Federation. And this was the general layout of the series. The main characters were freedom fighters from our point of view, and to the Federation, they were just a band of terrorists.
Blake 7 was created by Terry Nation, who is the writer on Doctor Who. In fact, quite a lot of the backroom staff on Blake 7 were from the Doctor Who production, which was going on at the same time in the BBC, and Blake 7 is a BBC program, and it's sort of came from the same area. Terry Nation is probably best known for creating the Daleks, which was the first monster featured on Doctor Who back in 1963, and he wrote quite a lot of stories, mostly featuring the Daleks, and he created Blake 7. And he went on to also create another series called The Survivors.
Although The Survivors was actually before Blake 7.
Oh, sorry, yes. I know he created it. Remember which way around it was. Blake 7 was actually shown on a Monday or Tuesday nights, depending on which series you're talking about. And it was actually very popular from the start. Its viewing figures started at 7.4 million in the first series and ended at 10.6. And the viewing figures were in that sort of area for the rest of the series. I think they trailed off slightly towards the end, but it ran for four series, as Brian has said, from 1978 to 81.
And Blake 7 is, in North America, sort of obscure and not very well known, never had that much airplay. But it's quite the opposite in the UK, as I understand. It was very well known at the time and is still well remembered. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I mean, it was a big show. I mean, that those number of figures is big. I mean, it's not as big as the heights of Doctor Who at the time. Doctor Who was probably getting over 10 million at the time, but it was a big show. Blake 7 is an ensemble show, although I guess there's two or three main characters who are mostly featured and are most remembered by the fans. The main character is Blake, Roger Blake, who is an out-and-out freedom fighter. He has a cause and he believes in that cause. He actually starts off being basically framed by the Federation and for being against the Federation, and the rest of his crew are actually all criminals of one kind or another, and they are probably mostly rightfully convicted of their various crimes. There is Avon, who is a sort of computer hacker, I guess you call him, technical wizard, who was convicted of trying to embezzle money from the Federation. There's a cowardly thief, Villa Restall. There's Gan, who is a murderer who's sort of the muscle of the team. There's Jenna, who is a smuggler, who's basically the pilot. those are the main characters that sort of start off, and then slightly later on in the first season, they pick up Callie, the telepath. And that's the main crew at the in the first series. The series does go through some character changes throughout the following series, but that's the starting crew.
What you end up with is a sort of trio at the center of things, where you have Blake as the idealist and the freedom fighter, who is the one who wants to take down the Federation and is focused on that. And you have Avon as the cynic and the foil to Blake. Avon believes that taking on the Federation is hopeless. He doesn't believe in Blake's cause, but he believes in Blake's abilities and he respects Blake. Villa is, on the surface, a coward and sort of spineless and not very bright, but lurking behind there, you can see he's smarter than he seems. He is perhaps a coward, but is competent and very much able to add his own contribution to the team.
Yeah.
Now, one of the features that was fairly prominent in Blake 7 that was later adopted by many other series that you see now, which is the idea of having story arcs, of having several episodes that are linked together with an ongoing chunk of story that come up from time to time. Blake 7 started right into that with the beginning of the series, with the first three or four episodes that were setting up the series. You didn't have a single pilot episode that set everything up, as you see in a lot of American shows. Most British shows don't get a pilot. They just have one season's worth or series worth of scripts and pick up the whole thing and make that. What you ended up with in Blake 7 was the first episode introduced Blake, and it introduced the Federation, and they revealed that Blake had his memory wiped by the Federation. He had been a freedom fighter in the past, and some current freedom fighters find Blake, and they reintroduce him to the cause and to what he had done, the life he had had previously. At this point, when the Federation realizes what's going on, that Blake is coming back to being a freedom fighter, they put him on trial for crimes against children. Basically, try him and ship him off to Prison Planet, where it's basically complete character assassination and getting him out of the way. And that is basically the first episode in a nutshell. It introduces Blake and the Federation.
Yeah, you just meet a couple of the other characters at the end when they're about to get on the ship. You meet Villa and Jenna, I believe.
That's right.
But that's it, and this really is a cameo appearance of them both.
And the second episode takes place almost entirely on the prison ship.
That's right.
And, it's everyone meeting each other on the prison ship, and this setup of bringing the characters together. And the discovery of an abandoned alien ship from an alien battle that becomes the Liberator. It repairs itself, and some of the main characters, Blake, Avon, and Jenna, are able to get to this ship and are able to take it over. And the third episode has them chasing their way to the prison planet and the rescue of some more characters, and they're then building up into what the show will look like. The fourth episode, they add Callie, and you finally have the show the way that it will work.
Yeah.
And it's at this point that they explain that the seven in Blake 7 includes Blake and the other five characters, and also Zen, which is a sentient computer that is part of the Liberator.
That's right.
Where I believe initially when Terry Nation created the series, he wanted to have Blake plus seven other characters.
Yeah.
But that was a little much for the limited BBC budget that was available.
Yeah.
So that became the seven characters, and it was only mentioned once, but it became part of the mythos of Blake Seven, if you will.
Yeah. And they sort of make up the numbers in different ways as the series go on, and different people come and leave as well.
That's right. And there is a brief arc of just a couple of episodes near the end of season one, but there was a major arc through the last part of season two that was quite an interesting one. It was one of my favorite parts of the series, for sure.
Yeah.
Which involved the search for the control center of the Federation. Early on in the series, they believe they have found the control center of the Federation, and they seek to destroy this because they know that in this distant future, everything is automated by this control center. So everything from space traffic patterns to climate control on planets and things like that. And in that particular episode, they realize that they can't do what they thought they could. They can't destroy the control center at that time. And it sort of falls off the series for a while. And then later in that season, they have several episodes where they are chasing down the control center for the Federation. And at the end of season two, they do finally get to this control center.
Yeah.
And it is sort of a turning point of the series for a couple of reasons. One is that they discover where it is, so they're in a position to be able to destroy the control center of the Federation and impact a lot of damage to the Federation instead of just moderate damage.
Yeah.
It's also even more of a turning point because they discover an alien invasion coming in through that control point. Now, it's worth noting at this point that aliens don't show up very much in Blake Seven.
Yeah.
It isn't like many other series where you have aliens at every turn and the idea of an alien is a completely everyday thing to everyone. It really isn't like that in Blake Seven.
Yeah.
In Blake Seven, you have the builders of the Liberator. You have occasionally aliens show up. And this was, I think, the only time in the series where a major force of aliens shows up and brings their force to bear.
Yeah.
And the Liberator actually has to call the Federation in to help defend our galaxy. The aliens are the Andromedans coming in from Andromeda and invading our galaxy. And this was sort of a key point and the turning point at the end of the second series of Blake Seven.
Yeah.
It's time we really hurt the Federation. Oh, we've been hitting at the fingers, the arms. I want to hit at the heart. And the heart of the Federation is Earth.
Where exactly, or do you plan to take the whole planet?
In season three, basically season two ends with a cliffhanger when the aliens turn up, and as we said, the Liberator calls on the Federation to help. And actually, the third season picks up after the battle has happened, so the battle isn't shown, maybe for budgetary reasons, but also it dramatically makes it interesting. And the Liberator was obviously damaged in the battle, but it has, as we've mentioned before, auto repair systems, and basically the crew have abandoned the ship, and while it's being repaired, and then once it's repaired itself, basically the ship goes around trying to find the scattered crew and pick them up. And although some of the crew are recovered, in fact, two of the crew do not reappear at this point. Both Blake and Jenna, the pilot, are not found at this point.
That represented a major turning point in the series because Blake was no longer there.
Yeah,
Jenna was
right.
No longer there, and that made a bit of a difference. But Blake not being there made a big difference to the series.
Yeah, that's right. And the new characters were brought in. I guess he's a mercenary, I guess he'd be described as, called Tarrant, is brought in, who sort of plays a similar role to Blake, but is not as idealistic or as charismatic as Blake, I think is probably the best way of describing him. And also another character called Spina is introduced, who's a weapons expert, who doesn't directly replace Jenna, but makes up the numbers. So the series is still called Blake 7, but Blake is no longer in it, although his presence sort of hangs over the series to a certain extent. And the dynamics are changed, because you don't have the sort of interplay between Avon and Blake anymore. And certainly, I think initially, Tarrant is sort of tries to be the leader, but Avon, by the end of that series season, ends up being the de facto leader, because he's a more forceful personality, and obviously he is not the idealistic freedom fighter that Blake was, so it does change the feel of the series. He's a much sort of darker and more selfish character, although he obviously has a grudge against Federation and still sort of goes after the Federation in a similar way.
Tarrant is really no competition for Avon in terms of being a leader and in terms of making his will prevail on this group. With Blake and Avon, it was always a little bit ambiguous. Like, Blake ended up being the leader because he had this charismatic leadership ability, and aside from Avon, the others were quite ready to follow him.
Yeah.
But in terms of imposing his will on what happened, there was always a little bit of ambiguity between whether Blake would be the one in control or whether Avon was the one in control. And it leaned to Blake, but there was always a bit of ambiguity there, which was interesting. There was another change at the beginning of the third series that had a significant impact, and that was the fact that after the battle with the Andromedans, or perhaps a full-scale war with the Andromedans, the Federation was able to prevail. They beat the Andromedans, but were basically spent in the process. So instead of having this tremendously powerful Federation that held most planets in an iron grasp, the Federation was much weaker, but it was like the dying giant that is still very dangerous and takes a long time to die. It was still there and still imposing its will, but it was much less powerful than it had been before. And that made an interesting shift.
Yeah. And then at the end of third series, the Liberator was destroyed. From what I've read, it was maybe that the series might have finished at that point, but it did well, and they decided to bring it back. BBC decided to bring it back for another series, which meant they had to have a new ship, which was called the Scorpio. And obviously that changed things quite a lot.
Further changed by the fact that they had a base station as well as a ship. They were no longer roaming completely independently. They now had a base and a ship that was based there.
That's right. The ship wasn't, it was basically a sort of slightly souped up freighter that was previously used by a smuggler, so it wasn't just a standard freighter. I think it was sort of implied that the previous owner had done some improvements and modifications to it, but it was nothing like the Liberator, which was basically always portrayed as an almost invincible alien ship that was way better than anything the Federation had. The Scorpio started off very different, but in fact, in that last series, quite a lot of the episodes seemed to be set around the crew finding some technological invention which would help them improve the Scorpio to make it more like the Liberator.
First, they added a teleporter to the Scorpio, which the Liberator was the only ship with a teleporter, essentially. The Federation did not have teleport technologies, but Blake did.
That's right.
They added that to the Scorpio in one episode.
Yeah, and then they had an episode, I think it was even called Star Drive, where they got this really fancy, fast star drive.
And there was another episode where they added a powerful weapon to the ship, so it became something of a running theme.
So I think it was a weaker season, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely on that.
And then there was the final episode of the series.
Since Blake has disappeared, there's a couple of episodes where it's clear that Avon is sort of looking for Blake, because as far as they know, Blake is still alive. And then at the end of season four, Avon reveals he's been searching for Blake, and he's found where he thinks he is, and they head off to this planet. And it seems that Blake is turned into a mercenary or bounty hunter, I think it's meant to be. And the big debate is Blake pretending to be this sort of more this basically bad character compared with his original sort of freedom fighter character to hide from the Federation and build his forces, or has he really sort of turned and he's no longer a good guy, and that's basically what the episode hinges on.
The episode takes it from there and brings it to a point where all of the main characters, including Blake and the fourth season cast, are in one place, and that's when the Federation comes in. This was a very big moment because they basically killed off, or presumably killed off, all of the main characters, including Blake. Yeah. The series ends with Avon standing there, gun in hand, gun raised, and about 20 or 30 armed Federation guards pointing their weapons at him.
That's right.
Fade to black and gunfire.
That's right.
This was the way they ended Blake 7.
Yeah.
It is a sort of legend within British science fiction. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened to Avon, really.
Yeah.
And you're not really certain about what happened with the other characters, whether they were killed or not.
Yeah.
And it was a very sort of dark and open ending, which I'm sure must have been a big shocker at the time in Britain when this was first aired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember it. And it was. And it was also just before Christmas. It was 21st of December. So it was an interesting Christmas present, say the least.
Your Christmas present is that all your favorite characters die. Or
that's
maybe
right.
They don't. We don't know.
Well, that's right. I mean, apparently, so reading on the internet and interviews and stuff, is that they sort of had ideas that if it came back, then they, well, obviously see which actors they might be able to get back or not, and then they would write the new series accordingly and say, well, these ones actually weren't killed, they were just wounded or stunned or whatever, I guess. But I think actually, quite frankly, it was a good ending, and the fourth season wasn't that good, and I don't know how good a fifth season would have been, so I think it's a very good ending.
It was certainly a powerful ending, and the season cliffhangers were a big part of Blake 7. They ended every season with a cliffhanger, whether
That's
it
right.
was the interstellar war we mentioned earlier, or the destruction of the Liberator, or in this case, the Federation coming in and apparently killing everyone. At any one of those cliffhangers, the series might have ended.
Yeah,
it just so
it
happened
ended.
That it was after series 4 that it ended, and that was the cliffhanger that we were left with.
Yeah, it's probably the best one of the lot, but yeah. I think at that time, like, this was quite unusual. I think the other series, they were probably neatly wrapped up at the end of a series to make so that if it didn't come back, it would make sense. But they certainly didn't have the cliffhangers. I don't think of anything else at the time which I saw in any genre that had a similar structure.
Well, that concludes the first half of our pilot episode, and we will be back next time with more about Blake 7. So for now, this is Brian signing off.
And this is Anna from London, England, saying goodbye.